Please turn, if you would, to the book of Job, the first chapter. Job chapter 1. My text will be verse 10. Job 1:10. And if you're familiar with Job and the contest between the devil and God, and how Job was entered into that, God challenges the devil with Job, and the devil makes a statement here in our text that God has, well, kind of looked over Job and protected him. And so let's see what it has to say. Job 1:10. Hast thou not made an hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Well, that's not all that the devil had to say about that, but that's what we want to think about this morning. Many of you have a fence around your property or a part of your yard. Now, the fence serves a dual purpose, doesn't it? It is intended to keep out stray animals or uninvited people, or it is intended to keep in perhaps a pet, a dog, or something of that nature, or your children. Two ways, isn't it? You know, parents place guidelines, rules, limitations, and restrictions, however you want to define them. But parents place such upon their children. There is a twofold intent behind those principles. One, they are an effort to protect the child from the evils of the world. Or number two, they are an effort to restrain the child by not allowing him or her to be in situations which they may fall into sin. Two aspects, rules that lay down by parents. We want to protect our child from what may come in, but protect them from going out. Now, we all realize that a child may not exactly appreciate all the rules upon them, nor do they always understand the motives of the parents, but overall the guidelines are for the child's protection. When a son or daughter may feel restricted and complain of the loss of what they might think of as fun, and there may be the sense of, hey, I'm missing out on something that is good, but therefore the child or children don't always appreciate the household rules. But in the majority of cases, given the time and maturity, they will look back and they will thank God for their parents, for they cared enough to impose restraints and to provide protection. Children don't always understand that, do they? I saw on Facebook the other day a collage of pictures of parents holding their children, and their children, of course, were crying, and it just looked like they were in large abuse. And it just looked pitiful. But the one picture that I saw, it just said the woman was holding her little girl, and the girl was just having a fit. And it said at the bottom, I wouldn't let her run into the street. The child was upset. Well, mom was just protecting the child. You know, sometimes we feel that way about God and the teaching of His words. That is, God keeps us from having fun. God, you're just not letting me have a great deal of fun in life. You are keeping me from all that is there. But I submit unto you that over a period of time, and by God's grace and by maturity, we too will come to the place where we thank God for the wisdom that He has had in dealing with us. I tell you, God will place limitations, guidelines, and rules, and it's for our protection. Not only to protect those things from without, but protect us from going to those things that are out. I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but I thank God for the hedge. And what we read in chapter 1, verse 10 of the book of Job is that Satan makes a complaint against God and says, well, God, you hedged about him. You've done all this for him. Well, I submit unto you that God has done so much for you and for me. And we need to thank God for the hedge. That's the title of the message. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to be in your house once again. And thank you for your love toward us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for giving us eternal life. Thank you for your word and your instruction and your leadership and your guidance and direction by the Holy Spirit through the use of your word, that you've placed guidelines and rules and limitations on us, not to hurt us, but to protect us, to bless us. And we thank you so much for those things, and forgive us where we fall short, and forgive us where we have criticized and complained and found fault with you because, well, we just didn't feel like we're getting what everybody else is getting. But you just did it because you loved us. So help us to recognize those things today and help us to love you more. Help us to recognize the hedge. We want to give you the honor and the glory. We do pray for those that are lost, that in our midst today, that they might see their need of Jesus Christ. May they too recognize that you have hedged about them and you watch over them as well. And we pray that that goodness would lead them unto you. So we ask, Lord, that your will be accomplished in every one of our hearts. Forgive us for our sin. Draw us to you. Lord, we love you today. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Thank God for the hedge. Well, we read in verse 10 of Job 1, where he says, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" I just want to introduce the topic by telling you what this word means. In the Hebrew, that word means actually to entwine. And so it is the idea to shut in. And the reason that a person would be shut in is for their protection or for restraint. Therefore, we might use the word fence. The text says a hedge, and we would think of it more as a fence in our society. Thou hast fenced about him. This word is also used, I'm going to read to you Hosea chapter 2 and verse 6, where God makes a declaration to the nation of Israel, and he says, "Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns, and make a wall that she shall not find her path." Now that's in a negative sense, that she's going to be encompassed about, but she's going to be hedged in and fenced. And so we have the idea. I use the illustration of a fence around the yard. I think it's appropriate, and you can use that in application as we go through the text. And so when we think about thanking God for the hedge, we need to understand that God has, in His grace and His mercy, in His own wisdom, He has hedged about us, or He has fenced about us. And I submit unto you for the two purposes which I expressed in the introduction, which are those two points that we're going to look at into the message here this morning. So the first thing I would like for us to consider as we look into the Scriptures, and by observation, we need to thank God for the hedge. Because, and I'm talking about the hedge of protection. That is, God hedges evil out from us. I'm so glad for that protection. We are blessed with protection, are we not? I submit unto you that every one of us here today, whether you're lost or whether you're saved, God has blessed you because God has protected you. He has kept you from evil from coming in and attacking you. Let's look at some examples, and some of these are found within our passage and some of them are not. But the first thing I want to make mention by observation, Job chapter 1 and verse 12, if you recall this, the contest between God and the devil. And so God says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And devil says, "Well, look at all you've done for him. Look at how you blessed him. Look how you protected him." And the devil challenges God. And so what we find in verse 12 is, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. I submit unto you that God was protecting, hedging about Job, very clear in the text, in a material fashion. Because what we have here when God says in verse 12, everything that he has is in your power, all of his possessions, all of his material wealth, you can do whatever you want with, Satan, but you cannot do anything unto Job. And if you know the passage, you know that the devil leaves the presence of God. He comes into this world and he takes everything that Job has. And he takes his flocks and his herds, and he takes his children. Just robs him of all the material things of life, doesn't he? And the argument was by the devil was, you've hedged about him. You won't let any of this happen. You do it and he'll curse you. And so God said to the devil, well, go ahead. I'll let that happen. I'll remove the hedge. I'll remove the fence. And you can do whatever you want to his material things. And so he did. And of course, Job did not curse God. Well, of course, the devil went back before God and in contest said, well, you know what? You touch his body and you didn't let me touch his body. You just let me take all of his material goods. You touch his body and he'll curse you to your face. And so if you look into Job chapter 2 and in verse 6, we see God's response unto this. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. Now God had hedged about Job and protected all that he had and blessed him. And then, but of course, when the devil was permitted to take all the materialistic things, he wasn't allowed to touch Job. But when we look into the second aspect is that God removed the hedge about the physical, about his health. And God gave him permission then. Do whatever you want to him, but you can't take his life. And so doesn't God protect us? Doesn't God hedge about us physically? The health that you enjoy right now, God has hedged about you. You say, well, I'm not in very good health. God still hedged about you, I'll tell you, because you can be a lot worse off, I guarantee it. A lot worse off. Well, these are some of the discussions we'll be thinking about as we go through. But I submit unto you that God has blessed us, he has hedged about us, and he has protected us materially. He has protected us physically. The next example is found in Malachi chapter 3. God has hedged about us financially. You think God does that? You think he can? Are you blessed today financially? Has God hedged about you? I believe that he has. Malachi chapter 3 verse 11, we read this. God said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. What is God saying to the nation of Israel here in verse 11? He says, I will rebuke the devourer. Do you ever notice that things don't sometimes last the way they ought to last? And if you're a farmer, you know, the crops don't come in like they ought to come in, or it might get attacked by a disease or a critter of some sort. And, you recognize that God says that I will rebuke the devourer. Does God hedge about us financially? I'll tell you, he does. I don't know about you, but I've prayed many, many times, and I'll continue to pray, God, rebuke the devourer. Because if God doesn't rebuke the devourer, then even if God would bless me in a financial way, then the devourer will suck it up. But what God will do is rebuke the devourer. Isn't that a hedge? Isn't that a fence? Isn't that God placing a protection about you? It is so. Turn, if you would, to the next example, Daniel chapter 4. Book of Daniel in chapter 4, and this is going to be through the illustration of Nebuchadnezzar. And dealing with a lost man, but I just want you to recognize that God has protected us and God has hedged about us. My fourth example is emotionally and psychologically. You say, well, God doesn't always do that. And I know he doesn't always do that, but if you have emotional stability and psychological stability, God has blessed you. Not everybody has that. And this example that we have with Nebuchadnezzar is he had it at one time and he lost it and God gave it back. And so in Daniel chapter 4, and you'll notice in verse 30 through verse 34, it says, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by my might by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. And while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and 7 times or 7 years shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled unto Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dews of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails were like bird's claws. And at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 36, the first part of the verse, it says, at that time my reason returned unto me. If you recall the story, God had sent a vision unto Nebuchadnezzar, warning him about his arrogance, about his pride. And Daniel expressed that unto him, interpreted the dream unto him, and warned him, Nebuchadnezzar, you need to be humble before God. You are what you are by God's grace and so forth. Nebuchadnezzar did not pursue that. He did not listen. We read in the text that he looked around Babylon and he said, look at all that I've done. Boy, I'm just somebody great. And that voice came from heaven and it said that the kingdom would be departed from him and all that he has for 7 years. And notice when he comes back to his senses, that he said, my understanding returned unto me. My reason came back to me. And he was out in the field for 7 years eating grass like a cow. Why did he do that? Because God had robbed him from his senses, had taken that hedge away, and there's no doubt in my mind that it was actually the devil that took those things from him, but God allowed that to happen because he removed the hedge from him. And so he lost his understanding, lost his comprehension, and of course they drove him out, and he was that way for 7 years until he got his senses back. Aren't you thankful for God's hedge of protection about you? That God has blessed you? John chapter 16, point number 5, John chapter 16. As Christians, we believe the truth and we endeavor to follow after the Lord and the truth of the Word of God. And I submit unto you that God protects us. He hedges out evil by protecting us doctrinally. In John chapter 16, there's a statement that Jesus made to his disciples in verse 13, where he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. I'll tell you, my friend, if you're blessed to know the truth of God and to understand His Word, it's because of God's grace and mercy. It's not because you're just super intelligent and, well, you figured these things out and you're just a good Bible student. It's because God has blessed you and God has guided you and God protects you. I'm thankful for the truth, and I'm thankful for what I know to be the truth and understand to be the truth. And I believe things today to be truth that I didn't always believe. And God, I believe, had brought me and taught me through the years to where I am now. And I'm sure there are many things that I have yet to learn and yet to understand. I thank God for the hedge of the truth, though. Not everybody stands by the truth. Not everybody holds the truth. Not everybody that believes exactly like you believe today will stick with that. Sometimes they forsake it and sometimes they go away. Sometimes they become apostates from the Lord Jesus Christ altogether. Aren't you thankful for God's hedge about you? God has allowed you and protected you and kept you. I've mentioned unto you materially and physically, financially, emotionally, psychologically, doctrinally, but I also submit that God watches over us, and I'm going to do an Old Testament reference and a New Testament reference, and so go, if you would, back to the book of Genesis chapter 20. The last example I want to offer unto you how God has protected us, is in the spiritual realm. This example was found in Genesis chapter 20. This involves a lost man. And yet God blessed him and hedged about him in a spiritual way. And if God can do that for a person that's lost, he can certainly do that for someone whom he has saved. But in Genesis chapter 20, in verse 3, and we're just going to read through verse 6. We don't have time to deal with all the context and everything that is involved with this. But just notice the discussion that's found here. Abraham had journeyed. He went to the south. He went to Abimelech. Pick it up there in verse 3. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said unto him, Behold, thou art a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. When Abraham went down to her Sarah, Abimelech took Abraham's wife Sarah to his harem. And it says in verse 4, But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And Abraham had said that. He lied. And she even herself said, He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. Notice God's response to Abimelech. And God said unto him in a dream, Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Abimelech had taken Sarah, but God kept them from having sexual relations and protected Abimelech and protecting Sarah at the same time. And yet now in verse 7 and following, God tells Abimelech that he needs to restore her back unto Abraham. But do you notice the truth of that passage there? Do you recognize that Abimelech and the integrity or whatever of his heart is saying, I didn't know any better. And God said, I know, but I kept you from it. Can God protect us spiritually? The other example is found in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And this New Testament example deals with a very familiar passage that you know, and that is the matter of Peter and his denial of the Lord. In Luke 22, in verse 31, Jesus speaks to him and it says, The Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. What's the devil want to do? The devil wants to destroy Peter. Here's Jesus' response, But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Did God protect Peter? Did he hedge about him? You say, wait a minute, he denied the Lord three times. Well, God allowed the devil to do that. God removed part of the fence, but he kept the fence. Maybe he drew the fence in a little bit closer. Maybe I should put it that way. And so Jesus allowed the devil to tempt him, and he allowed Peter to deny him three times. But he says, I prayed for you that when you're converted, you strengthen your brethren. It won't destroy you. Isn't that a spiritual protection? I'll tell you, my dear Christian friend, you need to thank God for God's spiritual protection. The things that he has done, and not just the things you recognize, but think of them. You can't think of them because you don't know them, but if you would consider that there are things that he has done that you don't even are aware of, that God has hedged about, and he has blessed you and kept you, and, well, he's blessed you spiritually, hasn't he? So true, isn't it? So true. That text, what we read in Job, talked about, and we'll go back down over there in just a moment. We're going to work backward in one degree. But God has protected us. God has hedged about us. But we also read in that passage that God had blessed Job. We'll read that again in just a moment. But I'll tell you, I'm glad for God's blessings and how God protects us in our blessings. By the way, and there's four things I want to submit unto you very quickly. Number one, all true blessings come from God. If you're blessed today in any capacity, that blessing has come from God. James chapter 1, verse 17 says, Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, in whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. God is the Father of lights, and every good thing that you have, every blessing is a gift from God. Now you need to recognize that. Number two, go back to Malachi chapter 3 for just a moment. Remember when we read in chapter 3, verse 11, about God's hedging about us, protecting us, rebuking the devourer? Well, I want to submit unto you that God may bless us in response to us. What do I mean by that? Well, you have to read verse 10 for this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, here's the instruction to the nation of Israel. And he says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts." God says, you be faithful to me, you bring the tithes I've commanded you, you bring it into the house, and I will bless you. Notice he says, prove me, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You be faithful, I will bless you if you're faithful. I'll tell you, dear friends, some people miss out on the blessings of God simply because they're robbing God. They're stealing from God. That's what we find within the text here. But what we have is, remember what we saw in verse 11? That hedge of protection, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." God will do that in response sometimes to our actions. That's not that we command God. It's not that we manipulate God. It's just that God has chosen in His own purpose and will to respond to our responses in some situations. And that's God's purpose. That's His plan. He does what He wants. And so if He says, you do this, I'll bless you, you prove me, and I'll open up the windows of heaven, oh, by the way, I'll rebuke the devourer, then we recognize that God has certainly blessed us. And go back to Job then. And so all true blessings come from God. And go to Job 1. And God may bless us in response to us. But then number 3, God may bless because He simply chooses to do so. Well, we don't have any activity, and I think that's the majority of the cases, to be honest with you. But God blesses us simply because He chooses to do so. And I pick it up there in Job chapter 1, and we read in verse 10 that Satan cries out and says, well, you've hedged about him and you've protected him, and haven't you blessed everything that he has on every side? He says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land. Did Job earn that? Did Job deserve that? No, but God had blessed that guy. You can read earlier on in the chapter how much he had. He was a wealthy individual. He was a powerful man. But God simply blessed him because He chose to bless him. But when that contest came in, God took away the hedge. And he lost all of his material goods. And God removed the hedge a little bit further. And then he lost his health. He didn't lose his life, but he lost his health. Thank God for the hedge. I submit unto you, number 4, that God may choose to protect the blessings He has given. God chooses to bless us, and God can choose to protect those things, can He not? I believe that He can. Thank God for the hedge. Well, the first part of the message is by observation the matter of the protection which God has given. And so then, by implication, and I want to think about that other aspect. The hedge is there to keep evil from coming in, but the hedge is there to keep evil from going out, people going out to evil. Well, let's look at it from that expression. Turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I mentioned how that God hedges evil out. I also believe that God hedges us in. And I'm thankful that God hedges us in. There's a song that we have in our hymn book, and it's called "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Part of that song says, "Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." How necessary for God to hedge us in. Because if God took away that hedge, we're going to go out to evil. God watches over us. Now, God will protect us. And I ask you to turn to 2 Timothy in chapter 3. He's going to protect us, I believe, through His Word. Verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What do we find in verse 16? God gave us His Word. What is He going to do with His Word? He's going to do these things that we have in the text. Notice them quickly. First of all, we have the truth. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. I'm thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for His revelation. Thankful for the truth, the knowledge that God provides for us. And so it is our guidebook. This is our manual. This is how we ought to conduct our lives. God's Word declares His truth unto us. It also reproves us. It is profitable for doctrine, that's the truth, and for reproof, reproving, rebuking. It is the exposing of our sin. And, in John chapter 3, verse 20, it says, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither cometh they to the light lest their deeds be reproved. They don't want the light to reprove that. I'm glad for the Word because it'll shine the light on our souls and it will show us those things, and that will keep us from going out to them. We need to know the truth. God's Word will reprove us. God's Word will teach us. But then we have in the text, it says, it's for reproof, for correction. That word correction means a restoration to an upright or a right state. And I believe what that is God correcting us. You know, as parents, we try to teach and train our children. And it's not a one-day thing. It's all of our lives. We try to help them and teach them and guide them. And it's constant correction. Just like I mentioned about that woman who's hold that crying baby. Well, I kept her from running into the street. Well, there just needs to be some correction all along the way, course adjustments. And aren't you glad that God corrects us, that God taps us on the shoulder, that God keeps us from doing so, keeps us from running into the street of sin? I'm thankful for the Word of God that will do that, and God will protect us. Now, it says in the text that His Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, but also for instruction in righteousness. That is, it will teach us the way of righteousness. I tell you, get into the book, my friend. Know what God has to say. It'll keep you from going out to sin. And, I'll tell you, as we tried to teach and train our boys, and as they grew up, and we wouldn't let them go here, we wouldn't let them go there, we wouldn't allow them to do certain things as they were still under our responsibility and the care of our house, we heard too many times, yeah, you just won't let me have any fun. You won't let, everybody's doing it. Well, everybody may be doing it, but you're not going to. Because we know that that's not right, and we know that's headed to, that's just going to hurt you. It's not because we didn't want them to have any fun. We wanted to protect them, to keep them from going out to that stuff. And I'll tell you, young people, you need to learn that. Your parents love you. They want to protect you. They're not doing that just because they're mean people. Well, somebody might be, but not, I don't know of any of you. God's Word gives us instruction. And I submit unto you, as you go back to the book of Ephesians chapter 5, that God will take His Word and He will work in our hearts and He will work in our lives by the power of His Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart? Aren't you thankful that God has placed that Spirit there? In Ephesians chapter 5, we are told, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Be filled with the Spirit. Dear Christian friend, you ought to ask God, fill me with your Spirit, because that will be a protection to me. That will be a hedge about me to keep me from going out there and doing stupid things, ruining my life and ruining my testimony. We need God's protection. Aren't you glad for the hedge? Go to Galatians chapter 5. You know, the Bible teaches us we ought to be led by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. There's a lesson there, isn't there? Follow after God, you won't follow after the things of the world. There's a hedge. There's the protection. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do so, my friend. Do so. I'm going to read Ephesians chapter 4. You say, why should I be concerned about the Spirit? You ought to be, because the Spirit will help you, guide you, protect you. It leads us into truth. We already saw that. Ephesians chapter 4, however, we're warned in verse 30, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve him? By not listening to him, by not responding to him, by not being obedient. We can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 19. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, he says, quench not the Spirit. You really want to put that fire out? No, because that Holy Spirit will help you, protect you, hedge about you. And we need that hedge. We need that protection. Because if it wasn't for God, we'll be out into the world. Even as Christians, it is true, isn't it? You can go back to Job chapter 1. We're going to finish out, and I'm just going to make a couple references to that text there. But I've tried to submit unto you very clearly this matter of God's hedge about us. And he hedges out sin from coming into us, the world from coming into us, but he also hedges about us to keep us from going out. And I'm so glad for the hedge. So glad for the hedge. Let me offer by application then five things quickly. Number one, God hedges whom he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. That's God's sovereign purpose. If he wants to hedge about me and completely encapsulate me and keep me in a bubble and you have to struggle with the things of the world, that's just God's purpose and plan. And if the roles are reversed, that's just God's purpose and plan. God hedge about whom he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. And if he wants to remove the hedge, he can. If he wants to move it back a little bit, he can. I'd say it's God's desire. And so I submit unto you, number two, God may remove the hedge and let evil in. He can. He did it for Job. He had Job hedged about. Devil says, well, touch him materially, and God allowed it. Touch him physically, God allowed it. God moved the hedge, didn't he? But God had hedged Job in. And so God may remove the hedge and let the evil in. God may remove the hedge and let you out. Be careful, dear friend, about missing the things of the world and desiring the leeks and the garlics and the onions of Egypt, because God just might take away the hedge and let you go out there and find what it's like. And you'll learn a lesson you'll never learn any other way. Number four, God may restore the hedge when he sees fit to do so. I'm so glad for that. God took away the hedge from Nebuchadnezzar. He lost his mind. In 7 years, he gave him his mind back and he became king over Babylon once again. God took away the hedge, put it back. God can protect us. God can allow things to come or let us out, or he can put it back. And so I also want to remind you then, before I reach a conclusion, God can limit the amount of the hedge to be removed, or the damage done, or that which is to be added, and that which is to be restored. We saw that in Job chapter 1 and verse 12. Take away what he has, and God says, you can touch anything he has, just don't touch his body. And when it came to his physical health, you can touch his body, but don't take his life. And I'll tell you, God can do that, can't he? I'm thankful for the hedge. In conclusion, then, let us recognize that God has hedged about us. I think you'd be prudent to do so, my friend. Examine your heart, examine your life, and recognize God has hedged about you. Secondly, let us not be critical because of the hedge of restraint. Some of you might be thinking, well, you know what? I read the Bible, and the Bible says I'm not to do this and I'm not to do that, and I'm just not having any fun. Well, the Bible, the guidelines and rules are there for a purpose. They're trying to protect you. They're helping you if you'll just see it. The Christian, above all people in this world, ought to have joy. And God's not trying to take our joy from us, but he knows that stuff that you desire will take your joy and take your life and take your spiritual walk, and he's protecting you. And here we're upset. Well, you're not letting this happen. You're not letting that happen. Let's not be critical of God because of his hedge of restraint when he keeps us in. And so we do need to recognize the God of the hedge. God has fenced about us. Let's recognize that God. May we thank him. May we praise him. May we trust him. Will you trust God? Our children needed to trust us as parents that we are doing what we thought was best for them, to protect them from evil and protect them evil from getting to them. And so we need to trust God. And then we need to seek after God. I encourage you, seek after God, that he would hedge the evil out, that he would indeed hedge us in, and that he would send his direct blessings upon us. I encourage you to pray that way. God, would you hedge about me? Keep evil from coming into me. Keep evil from coming into my family. hedge about me to keep me from going out and to keep my family from going out. And as you bless Job, bless us and protect those blessings. I told you I pray that God rebuke the devourer. I do pray that. Because if God doesn't rebuke it, it's going to devour. I like God's hedge. I like His blessings. I like His protection. We ought to thank God for the hedge. And I want you to know, dear sinner, that although you don't have a Christian profession, you know God has really watched over you. God has hedged about you. You just don't realize it. You just don't know it. And yet you have opportunity in life to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all because of God's grace and blessings. God is still hedging about you. Oh, that you might be saved today. Let's stand. Father, once again, we thank you for the day and thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you take your word and apply it to our hearts today, that every one of us would understand that you have hedged about us. And it's for our good and for your glory. Help us, O God, to trust you, to love you, to be drawn to you. Keep us from evil. Keep us from going out to evil. Guard our hearts. Rebuke the devourer, and Lord, may you bless us and let us use that blessing for your honor and glory. Save the lost, we ask. Draw us to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 326 is the song. 326.